Neanderthal.
Well, under normal circumstances, I would tell you a Thursday is sort of a blow-off day. It's the unofficial kickoff to the weekend. However, I have been in touch with the financiers here at KDKB, and I'm going to start off by paying you off for listening to the radio. That's right. Weekday mornings with Sludge Nation, you get an opportunity at $1,000 cash money in the $1,000 Sludge Fund. I, using the budget limitations allotted to me, am going to hook you up right now. Just for listening to the radio. Caller number 9, 602-260-9393. $10 cash money, non-taxable, just for listening. That's right. Look at the phones. They're lit. $10. That's, $9.80 more than Ruby had? See? The competitive nature of this radio station will never be underestimated. So go ahead and start dialing. $10. Use up all your prime cell phone minutes to do that, too. Shouldn't be expensive at all. So I'll hook you up with those. Also, I've got two bona fide guests here in the studio at some point this afternoon. One is a member of the Big Four. Another one is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Who will they be? Please listen. I'm paying you. It's 93.3 KDKB. Welcome to Thursday afternoon.
I'm a dumb man.
There's something about that one tooth of his that's kind of sexy.
Neanderthal, 93.3 KDKB.
93.3 KDKB rocks Arizona. It is time to give away the cash. Hello, KDKB. Who's this?
Rachel.
Rachel, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am well, and thank you for your blatantly faint concern. Rachel, you know what I'm going to do for you?
What?
I'm going to give you $10 for listening. Cash. Legal tender.
Oh, okay.
Just for listening to Neanderthal in the afternoon on KDKB.
All right, even if it's at work.
Well, that's at work listening. You know what you get for at work listening?
What?
$10.
Okay.
For a grand total of?
$10.
$10. What are you going to do with all the money?
Probably buy myself dinner.
I would be very, very careful how you invest that money. Let's not be frivolous with our spending, all right?
Okay.
Take care, and thanks for listening to KDKB.
Thank you.
Neanderthal, 93.3 KDKB.
93.3 KDKB rocks Arizona. ZZ Top, Sharp Dress Man from Eliminator. Requested music at 602-260-9393. Anxiously awaiting the arrival of two huge megastars, one of whom is a member of the Big Four, and the other one is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I ask you, who is the more significant guest? Maybe we should let them fight it out in like a co-ed nude leapfrog thing. Not sure. Meanwhile, tomorrow, starting at 9 a.m., you get a chance to get your Aussie tickets before anybody else for Wednesday, January 26th over at the Comerica Theater. Opening the festivities, the one and only Slash, Miles Kennedy, will be with him. We got your tickets starting at 9 a.m. from 93.3 KDKB. Latest is called Back from Cali. KDKB rocks Arizona and GNR, Live and Let Die. The rumors continue to swirl. Four-fifths of Guns N' Roses are getting along. Slash seems to be the one holdout, although he has been reported as saying he would be interested in doing a Guns N' Roses reunion if he could sit down with Axl and change the way certain procedures are done in the Guns camp. That is very unlikely to happen. But it's not like he said no. I think, which one of them had said it? Was it either Axl or Slash? I think it might have been Slash, that the only time one of us will die before we get on stage again. In any event, it could happen, which loosely translated means Rock and Roll Hall of Fame eligibility is in 2012. There will probably be about 7 or 8 zeros at the end of each paycheck. I'm just saying. Speaking of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I will have a bona fide Rock and Roll Hall of Famer in studio. I guess now it can be told. Nobody can C-block it at this point because I think he's on the way. The one and only Daryl McDaniels is going to come by. DMC, the king of rock. There is none higher. Yes, DMC is going to stop by. Why? Because he's jamming with Jackal. Yeah. Tell me that's not an uncomfortable scenario. Rednecks from Atlanta and DMC from the NYC. On stage together. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, I suppose I can tell you about the other guest that's coming in town too. Bass player for, would you say number two of the Big Four? I don't think they like to be classified as number two. It's not a good classification. David Ellefson, Junior Ellefson, Scottsdale's own, stopping by from Megadeth. Coming up in the next half hour or so. So you probably don't want to go anywhere, unless, of course, you want to be a part of Sludge's Build-A-Band.
Wow. You're amazing, dude.
Thanks. I like to play.
You want to get an appreciation for how good Mark Knopfler is on the guitar? Go see a cover band play that song. Butcher it. Every friggin' time. That is not an easy thing to play. 93.3 KDKB, Dire Straits, Sultans of Swing. On the way, legendary Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Daryl DMC McDaniels. Yes, that DMC. And David Ellefson from Megadeth. If the timing works out right, we can get them both in the studio at the same time. Maybe I can make a connection and get these guys to put out a record together. How cool would that be? What? It's already been done? Oh. I guess that's why I do this and not that. AC/DC Rock and Roll Train. It's on 93.3 KDKB. KDKB Rocks Arizona. A. Smith. Of course, the jury is out on that one. Find out what's going to happen with the future of that band as Steven Tyler takes some time out to do American Idol. Did you see the picture on the internet of him and his man purse? Okay, it's a European shoulder bag. It was a gift. Check it out on our page at kdkb.com. You can link to our Facebook page and check it out there. Quick break. Got to come back and talk to a metal legend. Our very own David Ellefson is in studio, and we'll talk to him next. Don't go anywhere.
This man is one of the most important figures in heavy metal. He is a bassist and founding member of one of the Big Four. He also has various side projects which include Temple of Brutality, F5, and Killing Machine. After an 8-year absence, he returns and once again completes the quote, world state-of-the-art speed metal band, Megadeth. Composer of perhaps the most famous bass line in rock, please welcome, Scottsdale's own, David Ellefson.
There you go, huh?
Wow.
We spared every expense on our intro here.
I love that. I might have to borrow that and put that on my Facebook or something.
You're more than welcome to it. David Ellefson, welcome to 93.3 KDKB and welcome home.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been going around the world. We got about 2/3 of the world done. We got a third left in December to head down to Australia, and then we can officially call it a world tour.
Would it be offensive of me to say that Megadeth was lacking a little bit in your absence? Would you be offended by that, or would David be offended by that if I said something
like
that?
I don't know. I still have yet to ever see Megadeth. I've never seen him play.
You didn't go when Lemenza was there or anything like that?
No, I didn't. I never went when I wasn't there, and obviously when I'm on the stage, it's hard to say I'm watching Megadeth because I'm part of Megadeth.
Well, you watched the Big Four DVD. You guys just released that.
I did watch that. Yeah, that just came out on Tuesday. Yeah, that actually came out very good. I was very happy about that.
Yeah, because if it's terrible, you're going to come out and go, you know what, we put it out, it was crap. It was just, don't bother buying that.
Well, you know what was kind of interesting, well, very interesting about that? Obviously, we recorded it live in Sofia, Bulgaria.
Right.
And I was asking, because we had a really cool dinner. Metallica guys wanted to have a dinner the night before we did the first show, which is over in Warsaw, Poland. And so it was just a cool, no agenda, everybody get together, break bread, hang out, and I was asking Lars about doing, you know, why Sofia, and he said, he goes, man, it's this really cool, probably 50,000 seat soccer stadium, but it was just in this cool area up by the mountains, and he just said, man, wait till we get there, it'll be just a great vibe, and it was cool. I mean, how many times you get to Bulgaria in your lifetime?
My answer is zero.
Zero, right?
Zero. I've never been to Bulgaria.
So I'd never been there before either. So it was definitely a cool thing, and we filmed it that night, and then it was broadcast to, I think, like 500 movie theaters around the world that night, like a simulcast, and obviously some of it was time delayed, but we got to it before it aired. And we held back some songs that were going to go on the DVD, so it was kind of an abbreviated set that aired in the movie theaters that night.
Right.
And then what just came out on Tuesday was the full set from everybody, all four bands, their full set plus a bunch of really cool B-roll and behind the scenes stuff, and the big jam that we did with all four of us together on stage. And
how amazing is that? You know, you get to a point where, like we talked about, you and I met probably a decade ago,
right?
When Metallica were going through their bass issues,
right?
And I actually jokingly suggested on the radio station, I was like, well, why don't you and Dave get on stage and jam with Lars and Kirk and James and see what happens?
Well, we listened to you and we did that.
Yeah, so right? I'll take credit for that.
Okay,
I will take credit. I'm the guy.
It's
that
your
brought
idea.
Nah, I wish I were that cool. The Big Four is a weird, that's a little concept that's been said for so many years. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, the Big Four was the underground movement back in the day,
right?
When thrash metal, speed metal, death metal, whatever you want to call it at the time, there were four bands that were instrumental in making it mainstream. Obviously, Metallica being the most well-known, the most household name. And I don't want to do this. I don't want to slot the Big Four. But followed closely by Megadeth and Slayer and Anthrax. And after all the years of sort of I don't want to say denying it, but sort of avoiding that sort of term and grouping yourself together.
Right.
You guys have all now embraced it and gone out and done these shows over in Europe. The inevitable question, when do we get the U.S. Big Four tour?
Same question we're all asking, I think. And the truth of it is we had so much fun doing it, and it took this long to do it because I think, you know, we did some shows with Metallica. You know, the first one, I think, was New Year's Eve, 85, 86, up at the San Francisco Civic Center.
Sure.
Which, for us, we had we were just going into the P-Cells album. Metallica had just recorded Master of Puppets. And that was a cool bill because it was Metallica, Exodus, Metal Church, and Megadeth. So that was a pretty hip bill, actually, at that time.
Two other bands who very well could be in the discussion. When you talk about the Big Four, there's more than four.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you widen it out a little bit, you'd definitely have Overkill from New York.
Sure.
And then you'd have Exodus from San Francisco. So, I mean, you could have the big six.
Testament, maybe?
Right?
You could put Testament.
Well, and, you know, Testament goes kind of almost a half generation behind, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they came up out of the Bay Area, them, Forbidden. You know, there's a few of them that came up just,
Heathen.
You know, a couple of years behind us,
right.
You know, so I guess, you know, but they, you know, like, yeah, if you widen it out, I mean, you could have probably the big 40,
right?
You know, if depending on how far you widen it out, but, it took this long, you know, we did some other shows, you know, with Metallica back in 93, we went over, they did some stadium shows, it was our Countdown to Extinction record for them, it was their Black album.
Right.
And I think they were just looking to play wherever they could play because they'd been on the road so long and we were on a big roll ourselves. And so, but in order to really do it as the Big Four and to make it be something that was, you know, I shouldn't say equal billing, but something that was really, everybody got their time on stage and it wasn't a competition, so to speak. Because
right.
I think back in the day, we were all still scratching and clawing our way up the ladder, and it was kind of competition between us. You know, now it wasn't competition. Now it was like every band had done their own thing, made their own mark in the world, and it's interesting when you watch that DVD down with all four bands, you see four bands coming from the quote-unquote thrash genre,
right?
But four very individual, uniquely different bands.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's what I think took, because we waited this long to do it, every band is really seasoned in their own way and has their own really hip contribution to metal, but even just to the thrash genre. There's four very different bands up there.
Well, from a fan standpoint, you try to slot the Big Four. Talking with David Ellison from Megadeth, by the way, who is in town back home, going to be playing over at the State Fair. And also, you just were part of the Big Four DVD that was released. And we also need to talk about the Rust in Peace Live.
Yes.
We got to get to that. Yeah. We should play something off that.
Okay.
Which brings me to another tangent.
Okay.
There was a time that at 25 minutes of five, it would be unheard of to have the bass player from Megadeth on a 100,000-watt mainstream rock radio station in America. I mean, look how far we've come.
We have come far, haven't we?
You guys used to be the midnight to 5 a.m., you know, way too heavy for your sisters, mothers, you know. But now you've become household names. To slot the Big Four, I wouldn't put them in any ranking, but there's certainly a definitive difference.
Right.
Metallica, obviously the most mainstream accomplished band.
Right.
Megadeth, probably the most technically proficient band as musicians.
Right.
You guys were probably the closest to, I would say, I don't want to say geek metal, but at least those who are educated musicians.
Yeah, don't call it geek metal.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
I would take offense to that, but that's okay.
Well, no,
but I know what you mean. It's very progressive, for sure.
Here's why I say that.
It's not math rock, as it's often called. You
right.
know?
So, but you guys were definitely, when you referred to yourself as the state-of-the-art speed metal band back in the day, you guys could play. That's one thing that, you know, I don't want to sling stones at other bands, but there are bands today that just have no idea how to play their instrument.
That is true.
Megadeth is one of those bands that could play. Slayer, probably the heaviest band ever.
On the planet.
Yeah, you can't get, as much as Slipknot tries, as much as any of those Norwegian black metal bands try, they'll never get heavier than Slayer.
Yeah, there's definitely a dark cloud that comes over when Slayer plays.
Definitely the most evil band, heaviest band on the planet. And then Anthrax, probably the most, I don't want to say underground, but the band that sort of remained, I don't want to say on the street,
but
they're
kind of like
level.
A cool, like, New York hardcore thing. You know? Even, you know, we just did this tour with them. We did the Jägermeister music tour. It was, you know, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. We just got home from that. We did that for about a month around the country. And it was, you know, there again, Anthrax starts it. It's like a fun, uplifting, kind of hardcore, heavy metal, rock and roll party.
Sure.
And then we come out and our stuff is, you know, comparatively somewhat mainstream, really. I mean, I guess that's why we're on the radio.
Maybe.
Because you can play mainstream stuff on
the radio.
Yeah, right?
You don't think I'm going to get... you don't think Tom Araya or Kerry King are going to be coming out here at 4:30 in the afternoon?
Yeah, you know, Slayer might be a bit of a stretch at this time of day, but, you know. Yeah, you see Slayer in their leather pants in the middle of the afternoon, it looks a little weird, you know. It's definitely nighttime music.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely.
But that's what we like about him. And obviously, when they come out and play, it's heavy and it's... And it's like I say, it's the dark cloud, and that's what we like about Slayer. You know, it's an interesting fact actually is that when we played in Los Angeles at the Gibson Amphitheater, it was 2 weeks ago, it was our last show that we did to conclude that Jägermeister tour.
Right.
Kerry King came up and
I gotta hit you with the name drop.
Uh-oh. Bing bing.
When you drop a famous person's name on the show,
well,
I
can say this because he was actually the guitar player in Megadeth for the first five shows that we did. We needed a guitar player, so Kerry jumped in, did the first five shows with us. We went up to San Francisco because we formed in L.A. and we were rehearsing and writing and putting everything together. And we went up to San Francisco, and I tell you, man, he was a fantastic rhythm guitar player in Megadeth, one right. of the best ever. And it was cool for him because I think he was a big fan of Dave's, and he saw Dave play with you know when he's in Metallica back in the day. Oh, you what? Because I say Dave, the guy you play with, that's a name drop. Jeez,
famous people, they okay. all come.
So it was cool to have Kerry come out because we talked about doing the Big Four jam. See, now I'm not going to say anybody's name. Big Four. That's not a name drop.
That doesn't
yet.
Count. No,
10 years. That'll be a name drop. Big Four.
It might be. Who owns the trademark? Gene Simmons.
Hold Let's on. Hope not. There you go. All right,
like
we got
apologize.
You on that one. All right.
My fault.
And so anyway, where were we? We're dropping so many names we lost count. So
That's
anyway,
okay.
Kerry King.
I won't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, don't do it. All right. He's our friend, you know. So he came up and needed
and
a jam on an old Megadeth song, Rattlehead. And
nice.
It was very, very cool. It was good to have him come back up again. And so we did the big all-star jam, even in Los Angeles.
Well, David Ellefson joins us here in the studio now. We got to talk about you got back together with Megadeth after a prolonged absence. You guys buried the hatchet. You guys got everything worked out. And then you went out on this reunion tour to celebrate the Rust in Peace record, which is, by most people's accounts, their favorite Megadeth record. A lot of people love. I mean, that was the big...
Definitely a fan favorite, without a doubt. Yep.
For a lot of people. And then you've released now a live album
right.
of that tour.
Right.
Where was that recorded? That show
we
recorded?
Did it at the Hollywood Palladium. It was actually the last date of that tour, because that tour was really only supposed to be for a month. And me and our drummer, Sean, would get together, and Dave would get together, and we'd have coffee in the morning and when we arrived in the next city. We were on such a just a good buzz and a good high about how good everything was, me coming back into the fold, and the fans were excited, and everybody was just thrilled about this Rust in Peace record that we were playing. And we'd never done one of those before, where you go out and play a whole record top to bottom as the...
A lot of bands are doing that now.
It's kind of a trend now. In fact, it's funny, you know, when Judas Priest came through and played at the Dodge Theater and played British Steel.
Right.
You know, I saw they were coming through, and I thought, well, you know, we've toured with Priest a lot, and it's a good hang with those guys. And then I read on the ad, I haven't seen it in the paper one day, and I thought, wow, they're playing the British Steel record. Well, I'll definitely go to that. So, I mean, that got me out to a show. So I get the excitement when people heard that Megadeth was coming through and playing the Rust in Peace record in its entirety. I mean, it was definitely, it was the shot heard around the world for sure. To the degree that then every country that we were scheduled to go tour in after that, all of the Latin American countries and all through Europe and everything, everybody was just unanimous. Is like, man, you better come and play that over here. So, and so once we started scheduling that, going, all right, we'll play the Rust in Peace record for, I guess, the next year, because you can only have a 20th anniversary for 1 year. So that's what our year's been. But we
unless your Kiss.
Unless your Kiss. Well, yeah. Yeah. But since we don't wear makeup, we don't have that luxury. So we have 1 year. So we decided we better record this thing just to have it in the can and just to have it there for the fans. So we put it out in September and it's cool. So
all right, I want to play something of it.
Play it.
Something I normally wouldn't play at 20 minutes of 5. Hangar 18 live, Rust in Peace. What's the name? The name of the record is
Rust in Peace Live.
Rust in Peace Live. Yep. You can pick this up at your local CD store of choice, or can you get it on iTunes as well?
I think you can get it on iTunes. You can basically get it everywhere.
All right, it's 93.3 KDKB. David Ellefson from Megadeth joining us in studio. Check it out, Hangar 18 live. There you go.
Little guitar playing for the traffic.
Yeah,
right?
I was just going to say, that's exactly what you want to hear. Little Italy's in your ear. You know, the little Italy. Little Italy, little Italy, little Italy, all in your ear over and over.
It's great.
You know what, though? We're talking to David Ellison from Megadeth, by the way. It's 93.3 KDKB, and he's our Scottsdale's own, by the way, our resident, Valley resident.
Yep. Yep.
Coming, stopping by, saying hello. He's in town for a while, do a show over at the State Fair. Plus, we're plugging the Big Four DVD, which is cool. We want you to do that tour. What are you tired of discussing? I mean, at what point do you just kind of go, all right, we've been over that. That horse is dead.
You know, probably the people ask a lot about the P-Cell's bass intro, you know, and they don't really even know what to ask because it's kind of a musical question. I mean, some people go, dude, how do you play it? And how about the funniest one is like somebody says, oh, man, I just got a bass last week and I'm trying to learn the P-Cell's bass riff. I'm like, dude, you should start with an easier riff than that. That's like one of the hardest. It's not an easy riff to play.
Right.
And it's a little advanced. But
which goes back to the musicality of Megadeth.
Very
few bands could stand on stage and musically hold their own next to Megadeth.
Yeah, well, yeah, thank you. And it's funny, even that track you just played, Hangar 18, many, many times over the years I'd stand on stage and go, what was I thinking when I wrote this bass line to this song? You know, why didn't I write something much simpler than this? But the truth of it is, there's only one way to play it, and that's the way it's recorded.
Did you ever have any of the other guys call you off the on the cuff and go, hey, Dave, can you help me out with this? Did you, you know... Wow, there's the question. There's
the question. There's one I have not been asked ever before. I was telling you that earlier. I was doing a phone interview with another radio station, and they were like, well, we're trying to come up with a question you've never been asked before. And I'm like, good luck, man. There's a lot of, you know, pretty much all of it has been asked. But every once in a while, you get one, like that one. That was a good one.
And you avoided the answer, which is awesome.
I did.
Classic job. Let me get us
what
out of
was
this
the
thing.
Question, by the way? No, anyway, no. See,
we'll it's get
a little
out of this
diversion.
One. I did, as is often the case, you get radio guys that do songs based upon real songs.
Right.
And you have noticed, I'm sure, we're going to do a KDKB bad haircut weekend starting tomorrow afternoon.
Perfect.
At 5 o'clock. What's the worst haircut you've ever seen?
The worst haircut? Boy, you know, you see some, no, not his. His is pretty good. His is spiky and short. I tell you, you go to some of these European festivals,
yeah,
and you see, like, you know, Mr. Fee, Fi, Fo, Fum, you know,
right,
these, like, old, they look like something out of, like, an old, you know, an old vampire movie or something.
Oh, a lot of that, the Glenn Danzig.
Yeah, like pre-Saxon or something, you know.
Wow, nice reference, a Saxon reference.
Right? I mean, you get, I'm just trying to, yeah.
I feel like that was a veiled shot at my hair.
No.
I got biff hair.
No, no. This is again, the think Fee, Fi, Fo, Fum, you know, something
right
out of, like, a children's book or something like that. So I don't know why. What's your tune?
I have a classic here, the classic ode to an American haircut, which I like to rename the mommet, because it's not a mullet, it's a mommet, because you try to grow your hair as long as you possibly can and back without your mom catching you.
Okay.
So you keep it neat and on the front and
okay
on the sides. So I wrote a song based on sweating bullets, which I like to call Shaving Mullets.
Awesome.
And I would
let's
like
hear
to
this
play this for you. It's a very quick one. Here you go. Check it out.
Okay, let's hear it.
Is not cool hair. No matter what your mom might tell you, front is short and back is long, and you only look like a fool. So what if you're a fan of NASCAR? Allegedly Jeff Gordon's gay. You look like you should be running auto parts. Your hairdo seems to say, time to get a haircut. You look just like Richard Marx. Say that you don't care, but with that do you'll break no hearts. Maybe shave it all off, please, at least just use a bowl. As soon as you can do it, man, that mullet's got to go. Shave mullets!
There you go. I play that for you.
Nice chorus. I like that.
You like that? There you go.
Oh,
there,
I guess you don't like country music.
Please
right
do not sue me for using your music
in
a parody
all good
song.
Man. It's
I appreciate
all good
it. You mentioned it earlier, the bass line to P-Cells.
Right.
Did MTV pay you for that? Did you guys get like a royalty or
you
anything
know,
for that? For the, all the years they used that for MTV News?
You know, I hope so. You know, you mean you get royalty statements and things come in from various sources, and sometimes they're just categorized under other. You know,
right.
So you'd like to think that somewhere along the line that happened. So I think probably so.
You think so?
They had to, you know, there was some technicality on that it's like if it was less than one measure, you know, like one bar, which would be four beats that they didn't have to pay you. Or, you know, there's little legal ways around all these things. And I think finally at some point, somebody must have nailed somebody to the cross and said, no, you're going to pay. Because there was kind of, it wasn't like a class action lawsuit, but it was, you know, every once in a while, the union step up and say, all right, you owe our artists a bunch of money and all that kind of stuff. So
do you have your union cards?
Seemed like there were, I do have my union cards. Yep.
All right. Excellent.
Got to be in the union if you're going to get paid.
Just want to make sure on that. David Ellison from Megadeth, welcome home.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I want to play that song because even if you don't know, and there are very few people who don't know who Megadeth is, but there's a possibility that one or two might be listening. You have heard this. That is the bass line. Peace sells. But who's buying? Megadeth, welcome home.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys later. David, thanks for stopping by. It's 93.3 KDKB.
KB, Mesa, Phoenix.
All out and clear.
Born in the NYC, this man is nothing short of a musical legend. A founding member of the group that in 1984, broke the color barrier, and introduced rock to hip-hop with a seminal work, Rock Box. He is also a survivor of rock and roll excesses, and is recognized for not just his musical accomplishments, but his efforts on behalf of foster children and adoption. He is a recipient of the Congressional Angels in Adoption Award, and is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He is the King of Rock. There is none higher. Sucker MCs can call him sire. Please welcome the one and only Daryl McDaniels, a.k.a. DMC.
Welcome
thank
to
you.
KDKB.
That was a great intro, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Really?
I got a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer in front of me.
Is still inconceivable for us.
Like, really?
Yeah, I forget. Now, not that it's not a big accomplishment. It's so big that I walk the streets and people go, you know, they see me, hey, by the way, congratulations. And I look at them like, for what? And they give me this real mean look, and I go, oh, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Like you're trying to milk the attention?
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it's a huge, just for us to be considered worthy enough to be nominated for induction, we was thankful, but to win and get in was like, why? Like, and think about it like this. We used to steal Sample. Yeah. We used to steal all these rock and roll icons.
At least you got it right, man. You didn't try to hide behind it.
I'm keeping it real. We used to steal the music and make our own songs out of the music and, you know, and for us to be accepted because of what we did is inconceivable. It's like, really? They respect us. Now, and as rap, as good rap, like we were just talking about, the real hip-hop as a total, to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just has to know that we're a legitimate form of music.
Right,
because eventually we got to compose and arrange our own songs.
Let me set the record straight. Without Run DMC, there is no Linkin Park. There is no Limp Bizkit. There is no Korn. There is none of that rap rock. There is no Rage Against the Machine.
Ooh, good
none
ones,
of that. There's none of that.
Kid
none of that.
Rock. Kid Rock said, Kid Run Rock. DMC and Aerosmith had a baby. He popped out.
There you go. Run DMC are the Beatles of hip hop. There were people who came before, Sugar Hill Gang,
Melly
Mel, and all those guys.
Bambada.
Yeah,
those, much props to them.
Those guys came first, but you guys took it to another level to a point where when Rock Box came out, that was the first time. Prior to DMC,
mm-hmm.
you guys, everybody was rapping over Good Times
Disco
by Chic.
Records.
Everybody used Good Times by Chic.
And said the same. You're right.
You guys pulled out electric guitars and put some guitar riffs in there and mm-hmm. made it rock. And before Beastie Boys,
right?
They were punk
rock.
I hate to do this, but white kids in the suburbs, the first band that was acceptable to them was DMC. Run DMC.
You're 100% right.
And
you're
that's why.
100% right.
And that's why you belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. To all the people that would doubt why Run DMC are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, that is why. They are the next logical progression from James Brown. You guys you're in that company now.
Wow.
Maybe somebody didn't tell you, but you were in that company with James Brown and Sly Stone. You are the greatest of the greats.
Wow. Wow. I'm really humbled now. I'm scared.
And I never thought I would be sitting in a rock station in 2010, sitting across from Daryl McDaniels, the first Rock and Roll Hall of Famer I've ever had a chance to meet.
Wow. Thank you. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
So, that's pretty amazing.
It's really amazing. I'm feeling honored now.
And
like,
now,
really honored.
And now, you're hanging out with rednecks.
Yeah.
Like real rednecks, like genuine rednecks.
Now, how
in
did that happen?
I don't know. You tell me.
I know,
what is
I have
that all
no
of?
Idea.
How does a brother from New York City end up hanging out with Jesse James Dupri and Jackal, Southerners from Atlanta?
Well, it's crazy. I don't even know how all it. I don't know how Rock and Roll Hall of Fame happened. I don't know how Rock Box happened. But put it like this, it's real good music story because really good rock and roll and really good hip hop, really good music exists. So I was in Atlanta and I went to put some verses on this other project we was using Jesse's studio.
Right.
His son walks into the studio and was like, oh my, you know who you are, whatever, whatever. So he runs and tells dad, you got to go in here. Run DMC is in the studio. So Jesse comes in. And we just start kicking and we start talking about music and we start talking about Walk This Way and Rock Box. And, you know, Jesse was like, you know, you guys are great. I'm in this band Jackal, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. Then he starts telling me about Sturgis.
Right, which is the big motorcycle rally.
Right.
Which, and I don't mean to draw a light to this, but probably not some place that Daryl McDaniels would be commonplace to see you at Sturgis. Are you a rider?
Yes, I'm a rider. I've been a fat boy.
A fat boy?
I'm a new rider. I've probably been on a bike like probably 12 times, but they said, welcome to the family.
Excellent.
So once he said Sturgis, I was like, I know what that is. Boom, bang. Yeah, cool. Then he tells me about the Full Throttle Saloon show.
Right. And nice plug. He owes you paper right now.
Really?
For plugging that show.
Oh, yeah. Great note. But listen about this. When he tells me about this show, it's funny how life happens. A week prior to that, I'm channel surfing. I stop on his show and couldn't turn it. I'm looking. What is this? Oh, my God. And then I get things happening. So he tells me about that. And he says he would like to invite me to Sturgis.
Right.
Cool. So we trade numbers.
Did you ride to Sturgis?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Not yet.
First, I was intimidated. I didn't want to go.
All right.
Because, I mean, first, you know, I became a rider because I liked the way Harley Davidson, I liked the way bikers look.
Okay.
And I was wearing the clothes everywhere, so people would come up to me and say, do you ride? And I would go, no. And they would, you know, I went to Bike Week in Daytona or whatever.
Right.
And they give you this really mean look. So after leaving Daytona, I said, I got to be official. I don't like to perpetrate a fraud.
Right.
Like, I got to be real.
Right.
So if I'm going to go to biker events, at least when somebody from that culture says, can you ride? So make a long story short, we start talking about that. But I didn't really want to go because Sturgis is like the big thing. So
I think Arizona Bike Week has got something to say about that, too. You need to come back.
All right. Well, I'm going to come. I have to now.
You need to. You're invited. I'll give you my number. You come.
I'm coming.
Hang with me.
I can't come. If I cannot come now. You told me about it.
All right.
But this is what happened. So we met. We talked about the show. Cool. Come to Sturgis, whatever. So then he hits me and says, check out this song. So he sends me to Just Like a Negro song.
Awkward.
Which is awkward. He just says, yo, check out this song. Tell me what you think. Now, before I even picked up on the lyrics that he wrote, how he wrote it from the Mother's Finest version.
Right.
I just love the way Jackal plays.
Yeah.
And the way Jesse sounds. It's the best rock and roll. And I've done with greats. I've Aerosmith.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I've done stuff with Slash and the guys from Guns N' Roses and Sebastian Bach and Mick Mars. But when I heard the riffs and the beats on this record, I was totally blown away. Then I started listening to the message in the record. And I hit Jesse back and I said, yo, Jesse, this is like a dope record. Could I put a verse on this? And Jesse was like, huh? Like, you know, he didn't know what to say.
First of all, let me just remind people, the name of the song is Just Like a Negro.
Right. When I heard that, and that was like, what is this?
How many balls does it take for Jesse James Dupri to hand Daryl McDaniels
from Hollis, Queens,
a record called Just Like a Negro? Now, obviously, Mother's Finest is this. It's a phenomenal band that didn't get their due.
Right.
And Jesse's always been a fan. It's a cover version, but...
Right.
But, I mean...
I didn't know that.
It's awkward. In 2010, handing a black man a record called Just Like a Negro from a white Southerner is awkward.
But...
To say the least.
Yeah, but it was the coolest thing in the world once I heard it.
Right.
And then I was like, yo, I want to put a verse on this record. Just to put a verse on it. So, not even for commercial purposes. So, I could just roll around in my pickup truck or walk into a hip-hop spot and they go, DMC, what you up to now? I got this record just like
I'm in Jackal now.
Exactly. But we did it, and it sounded great.
Should we play it?
It was just, let's let the people hear it.
All right.
It was just a great musical collaboration with purpose of fun. That's what it was.
I am more than happy to hang out with Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, hip hop legend, rock and roll legend, Daryl McDaniels from Run DMC. It is 93.3 KDKB. And I'm going to play a song called Just Like a Negro.
Here we go.
Wow, almost had some potty mouth there. Jesse's known for his potty mouth. 93.3.
Yeah, no, he didn't say it.
No, he did not. No. KDKB Rocks Arizona with Jackal, along with special guest vocalist MC.
DMC, man. Yo, you know, it's a kid's dream. Like, growing up.
Right.
Growing up in New York City, they had this station, 77 WABC. Dan Ingram.
Right.
And they used to play James Brown, Sly and the Family Stone, Stevie Wonder, but they also played... you know, the Beatles, Bob Dylan,
right.
Elton John. Growing up, I'm really the king of rock. When I said that, I was just fantasizing my rock and roll dream.
Right.
And to do Rock Box, King of Rock, Walk This Way with Aerosmith, and now to be doing this, it really puts me where I desire to be.
You wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah. I didn't care about afros and high heels and all that. But we didn't make rock and roll to get white people to like us or to even get rock and roll. And you said it when we were talking off the air.
Yeah.
In the DJ's crate was disco, funk, jazz, and rock and roll records.
Right.
So when we started making records to fit into the game, it wasn't about being part of this rap game. It's about what could we bring to it. We just looked and said, okay, Flash and them is using techno and funk. And no, Flash and them is using the disco and the funk. Afro Bambaataa is using the techno. We said, what ain't the rappers we idolize using? Nobody's using the rock records we used to rap over in the crates. Walk This Way wasn't, yo, get Aerosmith to do it over. It was, get Toys in the Attic out and put Number 4 on. The one that goes, we didn't know nothing about the group, but it was Rick Rubin's idea to say, instead of me and Ryan rhyming about how good we are, Rick said, do the actual record over. It was just going to be, me and Ryan, I'm DMC in a place to be, rhyming on the mic since 83. No MCs in the world is better than me. But Rick said, no, do those lyrics. Me and Joe was totally against it.
Yeah, you know what, though? Y'all saved Aerosmith's career. Y'all brought Aerosmith, because they were done. They were done. They were trying to, they just released, you know, they're trying to do the Done with Mirrors and Right in the Nuts record. And what was the one? Rock in the Hard Place. Rockin' a Hard Place. Right. They were dumb, and that band was on there. They were on their deathbed.
We didn't help them with the album that followed. It was just a great marketing plan.
Right.
They had all those songs. Dude, looks like
they owe you some money. Cared. They owe you money though, because you brought them back.
Well, they should give us some. right. Then they went back and got a $40 million deal. And me and Ron and Jay sitting over here, just these lowly rap dudes. We was like, yo, it was our whole thing to get up there and be rock and roll stars.
And get paid. Yeah. And get paid in full, right?
Get women and sex and all and their money. Yeah, you really funny with that. That's for real, though. Well, but we helped each other out, and it did good for music.
Yeah, and all great music is colorblind, and you are a perfect example of that, being able to still, years later, a generation later, because you did this with Aerosmith a long time ago, generation later, you're sitting down with another group and doing a genre of music that nobody would have expected from Daryl McDaniels, so thank you so much for continuing to do that.
Thank you for having me. You're an absolute legend,
and I'm so glad to have you on my radio studio.
Well, thank you, man. This is rock and roll. Y'all love y'all.
All right, there you go. Shall we do it? I'm going to do it. Have you heard this enough in your life yet?
Yeah, but it's actually my favorite record now.
All right.
For real.
Well, here you go. It's 93.3 KDKB. Wow. That was a busy hour or so. Can't complain about that. 93.3 KDKB Rocks Arizona, The Cult. And you know what I haven't done? I haven't given away my $10 for the 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock hour. So I got to give away $10 twice.
Man, that's one bad haircut.
You mean bad? Like good, right?
I had two choices. Can I give away $10 twice in the 5 o'clock hour, or should I give $20 away and let it roll over like Powerball? That's a lot of money to give away. I don't think you're able to handle both. I will take caller number 9 right now and caller number 18 right now, each of which will walk away with a crisp, brand new, negotiable for all transactions in the United States and abroad, $10 bill. You can't stop me. You can only hope to contain me. It's 93.3 KDKB. Good luck. 602-260-9393. $10 to caller 9, $10 to caller 18. crazy. KDKB.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Julie.
Julie, do you know what you are?
I'm sorry?
Do you know what you are?
What am I?
You're calling number 18.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. $10.
Right on.
$10 just for listening to Neanderthal in the afternoon.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. I would not kid you about a money issue.
Sweet.
Especially an amount such as this.
You know what? I just got in the car and they said call in, so I just started calling in.
And look what happened. People really do win in the afternoon here in KDKB.
I know. Lucky me.
What are you going to do with all the money?
Maybe buy a couple Slurpees for the family.
Do you want the rest on a counter or a gift certificate?
How much is it all together?
Ten.
$10 all together?
All together. Total. Cash money.
How about in quarters?
40. That's a lot of coin, honey.
I know, right?
Congratulations. You play a whole lot of Pac-Man with that.
You know it, yeah.
Congratulations. Hang on the line. I'm going to take all your information.
Okay, thanks.
People really win.
Okay.
Neanderthal on 93.3 KDKB.
93.3 KDKB. Yeah, I'm still sort of cleaning up the stuff in the studio. What a great afternoon so far. We had our boy DMC stop by from Run DMC, and also David Ellefson's from Megadeth, Ellefson for English-speaking audience, and a whole bunch of pictures taken. We're going to try and get them up on the KDKB Facebook page. We'll also get them on KDKB.com. Maybe we'll get some video shot. Who knows? Could be fun. Meanwhile, another $10 just for listening to Neanderthal in the afternoon coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Wow, you're amazing, dude.
Thanks. I like to play.
Don't stop believing.
KDKB Rocks, Arizona. There is your karaoke primer for the night. If you're heading out Thursday night, you're going to go do it. You know somebody's going to do that song. They're going to butcher it. It's going to be horrible. But you know what? Let me help you out with your shot fund. Yeah! You thought I was kidding. I kid you not. I will not make the same mistake twice. I promised you $10 an hour for listening to Neanderthal, and damn it, am I going to deliver. Caller number 9 right now, 602-260-9393. Yes, Thursday mornings you get a $1,000 sludge fund. And no, I don't have that kind of budget. It's the difference between mornings and afternoons. The morning guys drive the nice car, like the Voo. You ever seen the Voo? That thing is a chick magnet. Me? No. I got a Yugo GT Turbo. In any event, $10 can be... Look at it. Everybody said to me, Neanderthal, if you're going to give away $10, nobody's going to care. Phones are lit up. People need cash. Cash money. Call number 9 right now. It's yours. What have we learned? Cash equals listenership. I can buy my way into your hearts $10 at a time. I'm committed. Alice in Chains, lesson learned. 93.3 KDKB, Rocks, Arizona. KDKB.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Matt.
Matt, what are you doing?
I just left my grandson's baseball game.
How did he do?
He did awesome. He's 6. He does fabulous. He's a heck of a hitter.
6 years old?
Yes, sir.
Is he on steroids yet?
No, never.
Got to get him on the juice, or he's never going to make the majors.
Oh, no, he does all right.
I'll tell you what, let me help you out by giving you $10 towards his steroid fund.
There you go.
Congratulations, man. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
Hang on the line.
All right.
Neanderthal, 93.3 KDKB.
93.3 KDKB Rocks, Arizona. And Skinner. Freebird, dude. It's all good. Request the music at 602-260-9393. It's Neanderthal up till 7 o'clock. Then Mike Gobby will take over. He's got your mandatory Metallica at 10. 11 o'clock, Headbangers Heaven. A busy day in the studio today. Got to thank Eric, who is DMC's manager, for hooking that up. You know, we talked on the phone a little bit earlier today. He said, you know, you want to bring Daryl by? Like, absolutely. Jesse James Dupree from Jackal, too, for that hookup. You should go to Rock Me, Roll Me, Jackal Me Off, the Jackal website, and pick up Just Like a Negro. The single is available featuring Daryl, DMC McDaniels. Also, David Ellefson and Randy Walker for helping out, hooking up David Ellefson stopping by. A very, very busy show this afternoon. Plus, they're giving away money all afternoon, $10. $10 every hour. Can't complain about that. Of course, Thursday mornings you get the $1,000 sludge fund, and I'm merely making fun of it. And slightly envious, quite frankly. Tonight, if you are a bass player or a drummer, this is your final opportunity to get through the preliminaries to be part of Sludge's Build-A-Band. The auditions continue and wrap up the preliminaries tonight at School of Rock, 5th Street, right near Mill Avenue. Get there by 8 and take part if you're a drummer or a bass player and you want to be part of the Build-A-Band. Rock Addicts are going to be doing their stuff on stage. That'll be a good time. And we also want to thank our friends at Budweiser and Naked Dave's Music, the official music store of Sludge's Build-A-Band. Build-A-Band info can be found at kdkb.com. Keyword band, you've got to be over 21 to be part of the band because, yeah, you got a beer sponsorship, which does not suck. So we'll see you there tonight, School of Rock, 5th and Mill. We get a lot of requests for Megadeth, so we should get some on for you. We'll do that, and the new one from Alter Bridge is up as well. Don't go anywhere. It's KDKB.
If you were wondering where we got the money for the $1,000 sludge fund...
...93.3 KDKB Rocks, Arizona. One of the bands that I'm not sure belongs in the hair band category. Because I don't think Night Ranger was a hair band. I think Night Ranger was a band that came out during a time when the hair bands got popular, so they got sort of lumped into it. Kind of like Tesla. Tesla not really a hair band either. However, they got lumped into it, and that gives us an excuse to play them all weekend long. Starting tomorrow afternoon, 5 o'clock, the 93.3 KDKB Bad Haircut Weekend. A fine way to wind down the week and kick off the weekend and do it right. Of course, we're going to be giving away Ozzy Osbourne tickets tomorrow as well. Starting at 9 a.m., Ozzy and Slash coming to town. Wednesday, January 26th, Comerica Theater, which used to be the Dodge. Tickets go on sale Saturday. So we'll start at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning with Sludge Nation. Give away tickets to the show. And then at 5 o'clock kickoff at KDKB Bad Haircut Weekend, which is the perfect soundtrack to what? Exactly, Southwest Brewfest. Second annual Southwest Brewfest is Saturday. So we'll get you involved in that. All the details can be found at kdkb.com. Keyword events. Sounds like a full dance card for a weekend. Meanwhile, I love this band, Alter Bridge. It's Creed with Miles Kennedy, also known as Alter Bridge. The song is Isolation from AB3. It's 93.3 KDKB.
All right, show's over. I'm tired.
Yeah, that's the end of the show, I'm guessing.
What a show!
It was a busy one today.
What a show! You're very proud of yourself, aren't you?
No, I'm just very busy. I'm tired, actually.
Well, you should be happy. That was really cool.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. 93.3 KDKB, bringing to a close another afternoon of family fun enjoyment. Mike Gobby joins me in the studio. Hold on, Gobby.
Gosh!
There you go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It was funny because having just, and I guess I'm going to be guilty. Just get that out of the way. David Ellefson stopping by the radio station this afternoon. That in and of itself would have been a cool afternoon. But then, like, there are very few people that can top David Ellefson. He's, like, one of the most important guys in, like, metal.
Hell yeah.
But he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet. And Daryl DMC McDaniels is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Dude, how cool is that? Ellefson and DMC in the same building at the same time. Talking together.
Yeah, it was weird to listen to, like, you don't get this when we're on the radio. I would have loved to have had them in at the same time, but it didn't work out. Well, unless they really want to hang out and stuff like that, I just don't want to do that to somebody because Dave is here and he's doing his thing and right. He's got Megadeth and the Big Four and all that stuff. He's got to promote his stuff and I don't want to make him uncomfortable by going, oh, by the way, you're going to have to share time with Daryl McDaniels.
I don't think he would have minded, but you're just saying.
Yeah, after it was done, they were out in the hallway. They were talking about, like, Doobie Brothers records. It's just a surreal moment.
It was.
A surreal moment to watch two legendary musicians just sort of hanging, talking about other legendary musicians.
And the cool thing is, neither of them are dicks.
No, not at all. No, that's the other thing. It's like, guys at that level have, I don't want to say every right.
Not right, but you know.
But they can.
Right.
And I've heard the Mustaine stories about how Dave Mustaine can be a complete douche.
Yeah.
I've never had that experience with him. Mustaine has always been a solid guy.
Yeah.
So
well, I'm glad they worked things out, he and Ellefson, because that's Megadeth.
Right. That's exactly how it should be. So thank you to David Ellefson for stopping by and to Randy Walker for making that happen. That was really cool of him.
He's
for
sexy. Setting that up.
And also Eric for Ooh. Who Eric is DMC's manager.
Manager, yeah.
Real good guy. Thank those guys for stopping by. That was kind of cool. And to Leah in the promotions department for being the chauffeur.
Leah.
And Patrick and Crispy Dom for getting for getting all the video and the pictures.
Yes.
So that was kind of cool. It was a good thing. So, and thank you for listening this afternoon.
$10, too.
$10.
Did you get a raise?
I gave away $40.
How do you afford that, dude? Seriously.
$40.
Are you going to write that off on your taxes?
Cash money. I'm hoping maybe I can get it out of, like, if somebody will help me get it out of petty cash or something like that.
Ah, Shirley. Shirley.
Yeah. Thanks to Shirley for being such a wonderfully beautiful and magnanimous business manager who signs the checks. It would be very nice of her to hook me up with that $40 because I didn't clear it with anybody.
Put an extra zero on the next paycheck.
That'd be cool. If she did, did I mention you look beautiful today, Shirley? And
dude.
I'll wash your car? I'm just saying.
Well, kids, I'm going to pass things off now to Gerald the happy and abstinent police clown.
Hey, kids, you know why I'm happy? Because I'm free of STDs.
Garage!